So when someone you love passes away, the silence can feel unbearable. And then something happens, a dream, a sign, a song, and you wonder, is that real or is this just my grief talking? So today we're talking about signs from the other side and what they mean for your healing. Diane Haworth Haworth is the founder of Be Love Principles, a framework built on conscious communication, emotional awareness, and love-based living. And she is here to share about her experiences. After the death of her husband, Diane just didn't teach these principles. She has lived them. And so today we're going to talk about things that people, many grieving people experience, but rarely talk about openly, those signs, those connections, and what continues after loss. So Diane, it's so good to see you again. Thanks so much for being here today.
Oh, I always love being with you. Thank you.
Thank you. I know one of the hardest parts of grief isn't necessarily missing someone, it's the silence and the questioning. When you, after your husband passed away, did you experience those moments where you felt your husband's presence? Perhaps you could bring us back to one of your first experiences.
I did. For me, I've for many, many, many years believed and understand the continuation of life in different forms. So I knew that while he had passed from his physical body, that he was still around. But I still missed the physical touch and oh, I've got to call Joe about this, or I want to tell you about that, in the form that I had been used to. And I remember pretty. It was just a probably within a month or so after he physically passed that, I was lying in bed and I just, I'd been lying in bed with him for almost 24 years and obviously he's not there. And I just was really missing that physical presence. And I remember feeling him next to me. And I even thought, okay, I'm asleep. Like I'm asleep. I gotta be asleep. And I don't think I was asleep. However it occurred, the comfort that came over me, feeling him next to me, it's almost a year later and it's still getting me like this. It was so comforting. And it was, while my rational mind knew that he physically wasn't there, it was my spirit saying, oh, yes, he is.
Yeah. So you doubted yourself in that moment.
Well, yeah, it was like, oh, this can't be real.
Yeah.
He's gone. I know he's gone. And then my soul was like, no, he's not. He's just gone in the way that you're familiar with.
So how did you emotionally process that?
For me, it was like waves of gratitude. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you for letting me remember this and feel this. Yeah, it was just waves after waves of gratitude, realizing that while his form had changed and our relationship would have changed from physical to physical to physical to non-physical, there were still these windows, like a little peek from one side of the veil to the other, that could still bond us in a way that I had never experienced before, not like this.
Yeah. Well, I think this is powerful to talk about because, man, so many people have these experiences and it freaks them out. They get really scared and then they feel like they're crazy for feeling that way or thinking that way. And it happens so often. On Sunday, I had a conversation with someone who said, I might be crazy, but, and I challenged them. I said, don't start the conversation like that. You're not crazy. Like, this is real. So some people have dreams, some see repeating symbols, some feel energy shifts. In your experience, like what did the signs from him look like and how did you interpret them? And did you interpret them through the lens of be the love prince or be love principles?
I would say the Be Love principles had widened my understanding of the ways love can come through. I remember, shoot, almost 14 years ago now, my dad passed, and my dad and I were very, very close. And I remember we used to talk about business and, Daddy, what should I do here? That kind of thing. And I remember one day I was driving down the road and I said out loud, Dad, I wish I knew what you thought about this. I miss not having you to say this to. And just then a panel truck came by me. And on the side of it said Stans, STAN, right? Apostrophe S. My dad's name is Stan. And in that moment, it was like, oh, of course he's still here. So for me, it was just relief, comfort. And then I said, Daddy, help me understand what your advice would be. And then I could just relax into it. So I had been pre-programmed, I guess, through my studies and the way I used to teach that, all of this stuff is real. I mean, it was not as hard for me to accept as it is for other people. For example, we all have one of these. I don't know how this works. I don't know how I could talk to people in different parts of the world with that, but I can. So
Yeah.
I don't need to know all of the dynamics. With Joe, it was always just comforting, and the signs came in different ways. There'd be a song. And it would be like, oh, he's talking to me. Or I would find a random picture. You know, a lot of us have all our pictures digitally. So although, we do have physical pictures, you don't have them lying around like we used to years ago. And all of a sudden, I would be thinking about him and missing him, and a physical picture would show up in a place that it just didn't make any sense for it to be. And I knew it was like, oh, thank you, baby. Thank you. So I just think that he was always and is always just letting me know I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. And to me, that is just but one example that love never dies. He has changed form, but the love between us, that doesn't die. It never does. It's not attached to the body. It is beyond that.
So do you also get symbols and stuff in dreams?
He's come to me in dreams before, and especially early on, they were very comforting dreams in that, he was very ill and suddenly ill at the end. So when he would come to me, he'd be full of life. He would be just look great. He'd be happy. He'd be very settled. And again, that was just really a confirmation. Hey, I'm okay. I'm fine. Everything's great. I'm still here. Numbers were always a big thing for us. I have like little angel number books in all the cars. I got them at the desk. I have them in different parts of the room. So something that we would do generally is we'd be driving down the road and there would be a number that would repeat. And whoever was driving would hand the other one the book. Look it up. What does it mean? That's a sign for us. So numbers was something that was kind of our thing. And an interesting thing happened. Joe died in April. We had his celebration of life in July. The morning of the celebration of life, my sister, who was also really close to Joe, was getting ready for the event, and she hears this weird sound. And she thinks it's a cell phone and she calls her husband, like, hey, turn that phone off. What's that alarm? They look all over the house. They can't figure out what's ringing. They find this little old-fashioned battery-operated clock that it had dead batteries for years buried in the bottom of a drawer. Now it just turned on. This thing had not turned on for years. So she brings it to the celebration of life and she tells me, what's happened. She's like, guess what? Joe was letting me know that he was there. So she gives it to me and we go through the celebration of life. And then the next couple of days, I was unpacking some of the pictures we had taken and the photo albums and things. And I put this on the kitchen counter and I looked down. Now, the screen, I don't know if you can see it, but it's totally blank because I never changed the batteries. These are dead batteries. I could see little lines forming. And I'm like, baby, Are you trying to talk to me? Go ahead, I'm right here. So I went ahead and I was doing whatever I was doing in the kitchen. And every once in a while, I would go past the clock. And I don't know if you remember these clocks, but there'd be little lines that would form, right, for numbers. And I remember a couple times saying, "Baby, you got this. Come on, I'm here and I'm waiting for whatever you want to tell me." But I didn't want to give him like performance anxiety, so I would walk around and do whatever I was doing. I come back and I have a picture of this. It says 6:37. And if you look that up, 6:37 means always and forever.
Wow.
And I knew that was his way of talking to me through the numbers.
That's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. These things cannot be explained. And yeah, they can't be explained, but it's like knowing that it's real because you feel that emotional
Oh.
wave of peace in your body. You know, like there's stuff that happens throughout the day where it's just mundane, but then there's stuff that happens where my body reacts and pays attention, whether it be like a full tingling sensation or just I know I need to pay attention to this. I've lost people, but I've never had that form of communication with someone happen to me over years. But I do talk to my spirit guides a lot. And this week, for example, you and I were talking about the season and about how everyone's grieving right now and we're going through a new cycle. And I was woke up in the morning and I was really sad. And I was like, ugh, and I was scrolling my phone and I went to turn music on. And I looked away and I looked back, and the song was called Chin Up. And it was like something like, Chin Up, you're gonna be fine. And it was a song that I would never listen to. Like, you know, your phone remembers what you usually like. The song was completely different. And
Wow.
oh my God, I just knew that that was like spirit or whoever, my guides, my angels saying, Chin Up, you're gonna be fine. But I
Wow.
knew that. Like, it was like a knowing that that was a specific sign for me versus some other song that will come on and I'm like, oh, whatever. Like, it's got no connection. My body just knows. Does that resonate with you too? Like,
Well, I
signs
was
that come
going to
in, your
say,
body just knows.
it's the resonance. Like you say, it's the difference between that's a rando song and that song is for me. With this, oh yeah, I mean, still, yeah, that he was talking to me through something that didn't make sense. Now, anybody that sees this that knew my husband knows he would keep old crap forever. He would try to fix it and change it. Now, nobody has changed these batteries because, you know, who, God, maybe he's going to talk to me again. But it's so like him to choose something like this. And you had asked me about the Be Love principles. The last principle is remember you are the light. You never left the light of the all. And when I got that 6:37 message, it was, yeah, it just washed through me. And there was the gratitude, there was the acknowledgement that he is in the light that I'm still part of. It just reminded me that there are no limits to the light that we are, regardless of where we are on our journey, our physical journey, our non-physical journey. And if he can take this broken thing and send a message, I mean, and it was the perfect message. It was perfect. And it was that resonance. It wasn't any, oh, I bet he meant to give me another number. No, it was like, oh my God, because he knew I would look it up, because that's what we always did. He knew I would look it up immediately because it was one of our things. Yeah.
I see you touching your necklace. Is that significant?
Yeah. He gave me this for our first Christmas. Yeah.
Okay. And so is that a way that you're communicating right now? Do you feel?
He just, this is one of his rings. I notice that whenever I really want to feel especially close to him, I will wear some of either his jewelry or jewelry he's given me. And Yeah, there's just something about his heart to my heart is what this, just feels really special. And it's so, I'm so glad that you have brought up some people are afraid of this. It is so comforting. It is, I have found it so comforting. Such a way to, this is going to sound maybe a little unusual, but it's like it reinforces my physical aliveness and the connection to that which I can no longer see. It's like the love is the bridge between us. And it's okay that we happen to be in a different, whatever it is, dimension. Love is that bridge that still connects us. And while this might just make me feel nice, right? Because it's his ring or is this, whatever it is. The love is there regardless of what I'm wearing, regardless of what day it is. That just doesn't change. It's eternal. And that is so comforting to me. And being open to like, baby, what do you want me to do? Show me what I ask him stuff all the time. Like, why'd you put that over there? That was a dumb thing to do. And I swear sometimes I can hear him laugh.
No, I believe it. I went to see a really, really powerful medium from Canada. She is booked for 2 years. People see her, book her
Wow.
in advance to speak to people from the other side. And yeah, she's booking it 2 years from now. She's that popular. Anyway, she did a group session on mediumship, and she said that graveyards are the place where spirits are the least active. It's like you go visit a graveyard and the spirit isn't there. Spirit is everywhere. So I just find that so interesting. I'm a full believer in all of this. I get signs and I trust them all the time. But I will say this, I have days where I'm almost like, okay, enough already. I don't believe this anymore. Do you ever go back on that? Like, I don't know. I just some days I'm like, just tell me, or I almost get irritated or frustrated with it because I'm like, show me more. I need more proof. And then it goes away because I'm pushing, you know, when you resistance attracts resistance. And then I don't see signs for a while, but then I see a powerful sign. Does that ever happen to you?
It doesn't happen now. I will say that it used to, and I think it always just depends on, where we are in our life. Plus, you and I also talk, the energy now is just not like anything anybody on the planet has ever experienced. So we're all making our way through. With Joe, if I physically or emotionally, I should say, want to connect, I will go to a park where we used to walk, and I will go sit on the bench where we used to sit. And I'll just put my hand down and imagine him holding my hand. There is a level of trust, and I think the beloved principles that we mentioned have really helped me shift from a place of absolute fear and doubt and disbelief to much more trusting in that which I do not understand, and understanding that there is something bigger than what my human mind can understand. Yeah, and that's comforting to me.
So I guess like when we lose someone, I feel like our senses become super sensitive, right? So, you know, for someone out there who's going through the same thing as you are, how do you differentiate between imagination, trauma response, and that genuine connection?
That's a great question. The first thing that I try to do, and it's easier now because I'm almost a year out, or to be honest, right, with Joe's death, is I try not to judge myself for anything. So I don't sit there and beat myself up. I wanted to hear from Joe and I didn't hear from today. I'm doing something wrong. Or the more that I can relax. With me, that's with meditation, being time, having time in nature, listening to music, especially music that he and I both loved. Those are the things that sort of kind of get me off the edge of the cliff, right? That I found very helpful. Also, just remembering, this is a process, and there are going to be days. I mean, right now, after this time, I've had lots of really good days. And just this past week, I had to get a new phone. And all the stuff you got to do when you go to the phone store and you pick everything out. And I had my old phone and my new phone, and they're trying to put everything over. And out of the blue, I had this thought, oh, that's the last phone I used to call Joe. And this is okay too. This is part of the process. It's part of understanding that there are physical representations of our life together that are going to fall away and change. I need a new phone. But the love doesn't change. Whether I feel it or not, because of whatever's going on with me, I got a headache that day, or I saw something in the news that kind of knocked me off kilter. The love is still there, just because I may not feel it the way that I would like. It's like, what I tell my little 9-year-old grandson, the sun is there. You may not see it because it's on the other side of the world, but it is still there. The love is always there. And I do remind myself that it's always there. And the more that I can relax and also just embrace, a few tears when you got to change your phone. I'm going to sell the house that was our house. It makes all kind of sense to do it. I want to do it. And, will that probably be a hard drive away? Probably. But it's also, that also doesn't mean I won't take Joe into the next phase of my life. It just means this phase has shifted. Does that make sense?
And I feel like, the material world is one thing, and we as humans attach meaning to certain things. This water bottle, for example, I'm overly attached to, or I used to be, until one day I lost it. And I'm like, why do I feel so messed up? Because I don't have this water bottle. It was like I couldn't drink water from anything else, and it didn't feel the same. And I'm like, you know what? I think this is a little bit of, it's an attachment thing, right? Because I have attached some kind of meaning to this water bottle. And without it, I didn't feel whole. It's like a baby carrying their blanket. It gives them that comfort. And so I wanted to challenge myself to not have attachment to those physical things, because we as humans attach meaning to them. That's not to say that they're not powerful, and I'm not saying that they don't mean anything, because I know they do. But what I'm trying to say is that energy can never be destroyed. And so when it comes to something like your husband, he's always going to be there. It's just in a different form. And so no matter where you are, no matter what house you live in, he's going to be there, because you can channel him anywhere. He can never be destroyed, because the love is what's connecting you two. So I think it's incredibly brave to put yourself into those next phases and sell the home, and just have that trust and faith that he's going to be with you no matter what. Right? I think so many people need to hear that.
And I think it's a really powerful example you just shared. Our emotions, right? Our personality, our ego gets attached to certain things. And, I hope I always have these rings and this necklace. But if something happened and I lost them, I don't lose Joe. I just lost a thing. And at the beginning, I mean, it's so interesting because everybody will have this experience. You'll see how different people in your family, some are more attached to things. Even my husband, in the garage right over there, he has things, and I mean like old cutlery and like a mixer that his mom had, and she died in 1996. So he was very attached to things. I'm not as attached to things. But that doesn't mean I don't like to have them around. What I found is, as I have gone on this process, it's easier to keep the memories and release things that don't make sense for me anymore. Even at his celebration of life, which was very, it was very Joe, but it was very non-traditional. Joe wore these crazy t-shirts. I mean, everybody, if we were going anywhere, it'd be like, what's Joe's wearing? I had a table of probably 50 or 60 t-shirts. And instead of giving them to the Salvation Army, I had them out for his friends and family. The kids and I took what we w felt close to. And if you could have seen the joy on their faces, oh, I remember when Joe wore this to 4th of July, and I remember when Joe wore this, and Uncle Joe always had this. Though I'm not saying those things aren't lovely to have, but I agree with you. It's really healthy for us to understand the importance we're putting on attachments. And even though it's a nice thing to remember, it's only a symbol of the love that's always there. The love is always there, regardless if you get one of Uncle Joe's cool t-shirts. He's
I
still
mean,
loved.
we all do it. We all do it. I'm
Yep.
guilty. My last relationship, when I first met my ex, he would leave a t-shirt for me because I liked the smell of his cologne, and I would
Yeah.
wear it and I wouldn't wash it because I wanted to smell him. And when I could
Yep.
smell him, that made me feel like I was connected to him.
Yep.
Right? So I think we all do it for sure, for sure. I feel like, there's this old belief that as we heal, we have to let go. So what I mean by that is to let go of that life so we can move on. I imagine you're not even thinking this way, but how do you imagine yourself moving on to maybe even, being with somebody new? Or like, how would that even work when you lose somebody that, you've been with for so long? This might be a hard question.
Well, it's a good one, and it's one that I think lots of people would be asking. So I really appreciate you saying that. First of all, I think that for me, I'm not sure. I think of healing from grief. For me, it feels like there's been a transformation. I'm never going to be the same. The same way I was never going to be the same after I met him or any significant relationship. Right, that you have.
So would you
You are.
consider it almost like an awakening, another awakening, to like deepen your connection with yourself in a sense?
For me, it's been an awakening to deepen my connection to love. But I
Okay.
feel like there's this transformation. Legally, I went from checking the married box to checking the widow box.
Yeah.
That's a different identity, even though it's a legal identity, it's like, what does this feel like? Who am I now? So there is a shift in identity from this is who I was as a couple to this is who I am with my husband in spirit. As far as what it holds for the future, that's a good question. I will say I am. What's the right word? My intention is to continue to deepen into the truth of divine love and live from love's guidance. In the same way I got guided to Joe and I got guided to you in this podcast, for example, then I trust I'll be guided to the adventures and the people and the experiences that are still left for me to experience in this physical lifetime. So I look at it more like that. And love can be experienced. I mean, you and I were talking about a experience in nature, experience through an owl or communing. There's a little squirrel that I talk to out here. To me,
Yeah.
that's an expression of love, or with my grandkids, or with a new type of food that I had never experienced before. So I'm doing my best, I'll put it that way. My intention is to be open to experience love in the way that I'm guided. Does that answer your question?
I think that is an incredibly healthy response. I really love that response because I remember when my grandfather passed away, my grandma essentially just shut down. And I remember feeling so sad for her. And when I, eventually gently asked her about it after it had been years and years and years since my grandfather had passed away, she felt like it would be a betrayal if she moved on. And I, you know, gently said, I feel like you're betraying yourself in this moment. Like you're stopping your life. You know, there's nothing you can do. And I didn't judge her, and I didn't, you know, it was nothing about judgment. It was just heartbreaking to see her whole life end, essentially, years and years and years later. So I think a lot of people can relate to that, is feeling like if you move on, you're betraying them in a sense.
I think that's a great example, and I certainly have known people like that. I guess where it comes down to me is what is my choice is to move on and live my life or stop living my life. And to me, that is just for me, that would be disrespectful to the experience that I've been given while I'm still breathing. And I think that could also be cultural. It could be, you know, if this had happened to me 20 years ago, would I feel the way? I don't know. I just know now I feel like because of maybe what I saw him go through, especially at the end, I'm healthy. I feel like that's such a gift. There's so much I feel that I want to do in my business, messages I want to share, like with you here. Yeah, that to. For me right now, to shut that off, yeah, that's just that's not it, that does not resonate with me. We were talking about energetically, that does not resonate with me. Honoring the path that got me here, that resonates. Honoring the beautiful souls on that path, that resonates. Knowing that Joe and my parents and all kinds of people that love and support me and my spirit guides are all around me. Yeah, that's tremendously. Yeah, there's something very refreshing about that. And again, I'm almost a year out from his death and the trauma of that. So I do want to really respect wherever anybody is on their grief journey. And let's face it, we're usually not on just one. There might be a significant loss, but as an individual nations, as individual or individuals in this varied world, we're all living through collective grief as organizations change and governments change and things that we used to rely on are no longer there. So I think it's really important to just, whether you're currently grieving a beloved, yeah, what's your foundation? Because that's going to support you as you go forward. And I'm just forever grateful that, you know, love has been my foundation.
Yeah, and I think like it's important to note that the grief process is different for everybody,
Yep.
but there's also having to deal with other people in your life. So your children, for example, you know, grandchildren, and children tend to be the ones that are least jaded by society. So I feel like they're the ones who can truly feel and trust the signs the most. And so I guess this is a question I could ask you. When children talk about seeing or feeling the presence of someone who has passed, what would be a good way to approach that? I remember someone who said that their daughter kept seeing their dad and was like literally talking to their dad, in front of everybody, and would do it every day because the father had passed. And this child was like 3 years old. And so how do you respond to that? Or how would you?
Well, I'm not a child psychologist or anything like that, but since you're asking my opinion, I've got a grandson, like I said, who's almost nine, and we were talking about Joe just this weekend. You know, I was asking him about Pop Pop just this weekend. I would listen to him, especially the little ones, especially the 3 and 4 year
Totally.
old. Yeah, I would totally
I'd be like,
listen to
oh my
them.
God, yeah, tell me more.
Yeah. That's exactly what I would say. And I would also always, when I remember the what I hope I would always say is, how are you feeling about this? What does it feel? How do you feel when you talk to Pop Pop? And that's what I was talking to my grandson about, actually. I was asking him if he ever missed him. And he said, oh, I miss his hugs. He always had the best hugs. That was really sweet. And he's actually He said to me, "I want to talk to Pop-Pop. How do I do that?" And I said, "You know, why, before you go to bed, why don't you just ask Pop-Pop to come in and see you?" And that's one of the ways that, you know, I had talked to him about it. But we talk about it. We talk about him. We have pictures of around him. My littlest grandson, who's two, who obviously was just over a year old, when he was up here with Joe, I just had a little FaceTime with he and his mom, and I gave him a little Valentine's present, and it said, you know, from Gigi and Pop Pop. So we keep his memory alive. There's pictures everywhere. And if he ever starts talking about Pop Pop, I'm going to be the first one to say, "What does he say, babe? Like, what does he say?" You probably have better advice than I would about that, but I just would always be really respectful. Depends on the child, obviously. How old they are, what other kind of behaviors going on. But in general, man, if it is a loving expression and the child feels held and loved, yeah, and supported by it, yeah, to me, that would be a lovely thing.
Yeah, and I think this is a whole other conversation, but I think where the disconnect comes in and the trauma for the child is that if they do open up and then, say like you react that way or I react that way to a child, and I want to know more and tell me more about that and how does that make you feel? And then they go into school or their public space and they talk about it. And then they get made fun of, or someone calls them crazy, or the teacher wants them to go see a doctor. And I think that's where those walls start building as we grow older, like next generation, we build these walls because society shuts us down, right? And we look at those people like teachers and classmates as for guidance when we're young, So I don't know. It's a whole other conversation. We should bring a psychologist on with us to discuss it. But
Well, I do think that absolutely, when I was young, that's exactly what would have happened. One of the things that might help now is that there are podcasts like this, and I've actually seen children on Instagram and on YouTube. So there's more, perhaps there's more knowledge of it in the collective, or there's more recognition in the collective than there used to be. I mean, look at, was it Tyler Henry that was talking to people when he was a kid and he's got a TV show, right? Or Kyle Gray, who was evidently given angel readings when he was in school. So maybe the door has started to open.
Wild. I think I truly believe it is. So, while we're wrapping up, before we wrap up, I guess my question then for the audience, I'm sure they're dying to know, what are some of the first steps that someone could take if they want to get a sign? Say someone out there is just like dying for a sign. Like, what advice would you give them?
I would say what I used to do in the beginning was, I would actually literally talk to whoever it was. So my mom died 20 years ago, over 20 years ago. So, you know, I would say, "Mom, show me a sign and make it clear you know who you're dealing with. Like, make it clear. Don't make it
Don't mess
subtle. Make it
with me.
clear. And just pay attention. Not like this, right? Your tension, your fear, I think blocks it, but just be aware." And with my mom, it came pretty quickly. And just like you said with the music, it was a sign that nobody else would necessarily recognize, but immediately to me it was like, "Oh, I see you, old girl. I know. That's thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom." And I always say, "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for showing me. Thank you for showing me in a way that I'll understand. Thank you for helping me with this." And whether you recognize it or not, just to do your best to trust, you are so loved, you are so held, you are so treasured. And that love is always there. And at the right time, in the right place, you will always receive the messages you need to hear in exactly the right way. That's another thing that I really believe. That's an old Louise Hay saying.
I love that. Ask and you shall receive. So,
Yep.
Diane, tell everyone more about what you do, Be Love Principles, and where people can find you.
Oh, thank you. The Be Love Principles are a series of four statements that came to me in a, what I call a divine download. And using them individually or as a process has absolutely revolutionized the way that I approach myself and my experience in the world. And I'll just real quickly, it's greet everyone with an open heart without an agenda. See the divine essence in everyone and everything. Here's the big one. Forgive quickly, completely, and unconditionally. And remember, you are the light. You never left the light of the all. And if people go to beloveprinciples.org, there's coloring sheets, there's free workbooks, meditations, everything to help you move through that process. I've got lots of resources on YouTube. You can also go to morefromdiane.com and learn about my coaching, my classes, and my online community.
Amazing. Thank you so much for this really amazing
Thank you.
conversation.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody.
Yeah, so grief doesn't end love. It changes how we experience it. So whether those signs come through dreams or synchronicities or quiet moments, what matters most is this. If it brings you closer to love, if it brings you steadier in your body and softer in your heart, it's serving your healing. So, Diane, thank you for showing us that connection doesn't disappear, it transforms. Thank you to our audience for tuning in. To learn more about Diane, we will have her links in the show notes for you to access her stuff. And stay tuned for the next episode. It's going to be a good one. Until next time, take care, everybody.